The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, December 31st, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
I'd like to welcome everyone to worship this morning. May God's grace and peace be with each and every one of you as we look forward on this New Year's Eve. Romans 12:12 said, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer." Almighty God, we are thankful for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Help us to be the hands and feet of Christ as we minister together. Help us to work together. Give us the imagination and the will to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those in our community who do not know him. Lead us in our worship. Fill us with your grace and give us wisdom in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our reading for this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And if you'd like to follow along, it's on page 833 in your pew Bible. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, a tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want you to look at verse 21 real quick, and I kind of add this into our text for today, and it's really simple. You can kind of add it to your notes or whatever. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And adding to God's reading this morning. What I want you to see going on here is Jesus's mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, are very devout. They're keepers of the law of Israel. They're keepers of God's covenants. And as we go into this, we see them devoutly serving, going, and if you continue to read Luke, you'll find out that Jesus did that. You continue to read the Gospels, Jesus was in the synagogue, always on the Sabbath day. He could be found teaching in the temples. We can see that what is going on is that Jesus isn't come to do away and abolish the law. As a matter of fact, that's quite the opposite. Jesus came to fulfill the law. For if Jesus came to abolish the law and throw the law out, that means that God made a mistake when he made it, right? But what I want you to see is there's a change that happens in this text. You're going to notice in verses 22 through 24 that it changes from the law of Moses. They go, they do the sacrificial thing according to the law of Moses, and then it changes to the law of the Lord. All of a sudden, we shift gears, and we find ourselves according to the law of the Lord. You see, the law isn't a bad thing, folks. The law isn't intended to oppress, but to be freedom. It's to teach us to love one another, to care for each other, and to follow God's love through those commandments that are not given to squish us, box us, or hinder us, but to liberate us and set us free. That we would live in harmony with God and with one another. But what happens is, what happens when man gets a hold of the law? We change it, don't we? Most of the time to suit us. And the more power we have, the more we can change it, right? Sometimes we can interpret it our own way. I mean, goodness gracious, do you know how much money gets spent every year trying to reinterpret our Constitution? Do you realize how many legal battles are ongoing at any given time in this country disputing or upholding a 200-year-old plus document? It gets convoluted over time. How about just normal laws? Have you noticed our courts are overflowing? Now, maybe I should be on a box, but it's kind of strange to me. If it says thou shalt not steal, then you're guilty of stealing. How many degrees of stealing are there? You know? Really? Why can't we make it simple instead of convoluted? Every time man gets in the mix of things, the Ten Commandments are very brief, in all honesty. God gave them. He put them on two tablets, folks. He said, here's the 10 things. Not suggestions, by the way, and they haven't been erased. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's enough. But guess what happened? Move it fast forward a few thousand years, a few wars, a few tribal battles, a few things have going on, and it's this thick. The interpretation of the law and the definition of just the Sabbath, if you look at it in Orthodox Jewish culture, the laws concerning the Sabbath are thicker than our hymnal written in the same print. That's just one day. What defines work takes up about 60 pages. 60 pages. You see, what had happened is the spirit of the law had been lost. The spirit of the law and the intent of the law had been lost, and it had become an oppressive thumbs-on system instead of a liberating way to live. The sermon's entitled New Beginnings. You can't have a new beginning without presupposing that there was something before that. We have in Christ the new covenant. New covenant presupposes the old, but it doesn't do away with the old. How many of you want a fresh start, a new beginning? Nobody? I do. Because there's just some day. Have you ever got to the end of the day and you said you wish this thing was over? Or you'll be glad when it's done? Have you ever laid down at night and said, whew, I made it? Yeah. Thank, or maybe you couldn't sleep because the day wouldn't end. You tossed and turned and were restless. We always pray that tomorrow is indeed a new day, and it is. So what we've got going on here is then we run into this person, Simeon, who prophesies about Jesus. And I got news for you. That thing he told Mary and Joseph, that would have scared the stuff out of me. You know, about a sword and the rising and falling and all. Whew, that would have been scary. But he prophesies, for this Messiah has come for the consolation. How many of you know what consolation means? Getting something you don't deserve, right? We have consolation prizes today, right? People who get a prize even though they didn't make it. You know, it's that which, it's to make you feel good maybe, to kind of give you a little pat on the back to console you. Oh, we do that, don't we? You know, we've gotten real good at it, haven't we? Haven't we? How many of you got good at consoling people? Oh, I bet you have. How many of you have got it down pat? Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. What was their name? We've got it down pat, haven't we? But Jesus, the Simeon, says that Jesus came for the consolation of Israel. And what that means is they're going to get another chance, even though they don't deserve it. Jesus has came that they get another chance, that they would be consoled, that they would be comforted, that they would be lifted up, that they would be encouraged. And he goes on to say, and for a revelation to the Gentiles. You see, the spirit of it was in Genesis 12, 1 through 3 and 4, we get the call of Abraham. That was God's spirit in the beginning. Not that they would become elitist and they would become exclusive to God's people, but that they would be the people through whom God was shown to the world. That people would be able to see God at work. God was going to bless them. God was going to do all this stuff. And they were to say, look at us. This is what God's doing for us. Come and know our God. But what did they do? They said, come. And, oh, you can't come over here. God's ours. We're God's and you're out. We're going to draw the line in the box. And if you want to come in, then you've got to follow our rules. They boxed God in. And they boxed themselves, and that wasn't the spirit of how it started. Read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And through you all the nations of the world will be blessed, for those who read it yourself. And then we get down to Anna. We get the token widow in the temple. Why do you think they let this woman hang out down there? It made them look good. She's the token widow. I mean, she's the perfect example of the poster child widow because the law said that the temple should take care of the widows. So they had their token widow over there hanging out. They could always say, see, 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 we're doing it, we're keeping it. Oh, but what they didn't know is she was a prophet. You need to notice that she says, for the redemption. Redemption of what? Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Because that was the city of David. And Jesus had a promise of the extension of the kingdom of David. But there was a problem with Jerusalem and prophets, wasn't there? They killed them all. Jesus would pray over Jerusalem and say, "Oh, Jerusalem, 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 I've wanted to bring you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks. Oh, you who kill the prophets." And indeed, they would kill Jesus. Israel, consolation. Jerusalem, redemption. Something new was about to happen. We would move from the law now fulfilled in Christ Jesus to the age we enjoy today, and it's called the dispensation of grace. I want to write that one down. It's a theological term. You could even Google that puppy and get you some good stuff on it. It's called the dispensation of grace, and that's what we live under today, church. Grace. Consolation, redemption. Redemption equals repentance, restoration, reestablishment. Jesus was Jewish and came as a fulfillment of God's promises through the prophets to David, to Jesse, David's father. He fulfilled all, not some, not part. But now we enter into the dispensation of grace where we have a new beginning of the law and the spirit of the law, and that is grace, love, mercy, hope, peace, presence. We can go around the list that we've been celebrating through Advent. You see, new beginnings for us as Christians begin every day anew. Every time we, how many of you have made a mistake? How many made one this morning? I made two already. I got up and didn't go back to bed. I guess that was the first two. You know, and I made some more since then. You know, I make a lot of them. The problem is sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. Sometimes we let our mistakes define us. Sometimes we let our shortcomings define us. Sometimes we let people put us in a box because we defined ourselves. Or how many of you have told somebody a secret and all of a sudden you found yourself being held victim by it? Huh? Yeah, I bet you have. I've preached and shared with you not to let the things around us define us, our circumstances or other people, but let God define who we are. For God has the power to mold us and to make us, to use us and lift us up in small ways, in large ways, in medium ways. He can take the broken and accomplish many things. He can take the weak and overcome the strong. You see, if we box ourselves in, then we limit God. In order for God to give us a new beginning, to do a new thing in us and through us as a congregation, as individuals, and as a church, we have to let Him. We have to surrender to Him. He becomes what this text shifted to, Lord. Not law because we have to, but because we want to. Because we should do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. To let God work in us and through us in however way that is. To not be defined by the world around us. To get a new beginning, you have to drop some of the definitions. The pain, the hurt, the agony. You have to drop some of the preconceptions and ideas. You know, I've often found in 20 plus years of ministry that often the person who makes the best Sunday school teacher has never taught a day in their life. And the person that doesn't make a good Sunday school teacher is the professional teacher. I got in trouble. You see, what I've learned is God calls us out of our comfort zones to serve Him. God calls us out of our native skin, if you will, so that we depend on Him and know Him and trust Him to accomplish these things that we do. I remember the first time I taught a Sunday school class. I wasn't a preacher, by the way. We were struggling to bring some young people into the church. Yeah, sounds familiar. Struggling to get some young people in the church, and believe it or not, at that time I was one of the young people, so that tells you how long ago it was. And they said, would you take a Sunday school class? I said, no. Where do you want me to take it? I can drive. No, we want to start one. I said, what do you want to call it? Young adult Sunday school class. I said, that's original. They said, well, we want you to teach it. And I remember having this conversation with Baxter and Brian, and I said, what do you want me to teach? He said, well, I'll get you some literature. He never did. That's the way preachers are, you know. And so I said, okay, when do you want me to teach it? Sundays. What time? 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Yeah, we worship at 11. I said, well, why do we have to come that early? It's 2 hours. I can't teach a 2 hour. How many of you know how hard it is to teach 2 hours? Keep young people's attention for 2 hours? I said, that ain't going to work, Doc. He said, what do you suggest? I said, I suggest 11:30 and do 15 minutes. I said, that way if parents bring them, it won't be too long, they can maybe hang. You know, we did that. It worked pretty good. Except for the teacher. He didn't know any idea what he was doing. You don't know how many hours I prayed, church. And I share with you this morning that God wants to have a new beginning in our lives every time we mess up. He wants to forgive us by grace, but he also wants to call us out of our comfort zones. He wants to challenge us. He won't leave us without equipment to do it. I finally learned that I could teach a Sunday school class sometimes just by listening and letting them share what they found. Do you know what I learned? It's a secret. Dennis, how many we got? Dennis is the bean counter over there. Well, I mean head counter. Okay, I'm going to tell all of you, 54 and 6, I'm going to tell you the secret. Are you ready? God works through other people. Did you know that? He'll even work through you. If he can use me, he can use anybody. Now, I want you to go remember that, and I want you to go share that. Go tell my secret. I realized that I didn't have everything that needed to be said. Sometimes God had somebody else that was to speak. Don't wait on somebody else to pull your wagon. Don't wait on somebody else to give you the word. God's working in all of our lives to give us fresh starts and new beginnings and challenges to let our faith grow. Folks, I wrote a little piece in the back, in the bulletin. You can read it. It says, let go of the past and move on. I said in my prayer, the rearview mirror is small, but the windshield's big. You need to notice where you're going more than where you've been. A new beginning can't start until you walk away from the old. You can't get a fresh handful of stuff till you empty what's there. You can't receive a spiritual blessing till you open your heart to get one. You can't climb a challenge until you accept it. You can't know God's presence more dear to you than ever until you have that only to trust in. Start off this new year with a new beginning. Jesus gave a fresh start, a new beginning to the law, to the spirit of the law. His teachings and his life and his examples would fulfill all of that as you would see Christ living out the spirit of the law. Not the legalism, but the spirit of it. And Christ would give his life for us out of love. Let new beginnings start with you here now this morning. Let that stuff go. Move forward with Christ. In closing, I'll teach you one thing, and I may have used this before, but there's different people here. Write this down somewhere. Be H-A-G. B-H-A-G. With God. B-H-A-G. With God. B-H-A-G. I know it's odd. And it's an acronym. Tell you what it means in it. But you got to have with God on there. And I think we need to adopt this. Now, while you got that, maybe you wrote it in your bulletin. Since you did, get your bulletin out. Because this is relevant. We're going to continue this. Right under the title, notice what it says, Healthy Things Grow. I want you to join me as we share it together. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Change is a challenge. Challenge forces us to trust God. Trusting God makes us healthy. Healthy things grow. As Christians, we should always have, inspired by God, a B-H-A-G. Let's call it a BHAG. A big, hairy, audacious goal. A big, hairy, audacious. We should not look back for the little tidbits of stuff, but let God empower us to accomplish the big, hairy, audacious goals of changing somebody's life, of taking time to minister to somebody, of opening the doors of our hearts to let people in and to share God's love that is in us. We should be ready for God to do the amazing with us. We should be ready to take on God's plan for our life, not think He can't, because He can. This new year is full of new beginnings if you trust God to take you. Or you can step backwards and let the past hold you down. Or you can take a step forward and let God give you a new beginning. And I bet you may find a BHAG out there that God wants to give you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, may we trust in You in all things, that You would touch our hearts, touch our lives, empower our ministries, and let us know You in this new year. That we would have fresh and new beginnings, that we would know Your peace, Your presence, Your grace, Your mercy, Your power as we move forward, letting go of the past, forgiving, redeeming, finding consolation, finding the Spirit of Your love and grace that fulfills all of what You have said through the prophets, through the different generations and the different ages of the traditions and the church and the history. And Father, we come here, 2017 ending, 2018 beginning. Father, let us know new beginnings in You. Let us know fresh starts, forgiven sins, strengthened weakness, power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives as we move forward with You renewed in our lives. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you into a new year, filled with new beginnings, new opportunities, new challenges, not problems, not unfixable situations, but with God everything has possibility and everything has potential. And it has potential for good, to strengthen, to challenge. Remember that healthy things grow. And may we truly go in His name, and may you be blessed in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.